Happy New Year and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, for our quarterly check-in on local transit matters in a segment we call the Transit Pass. We've been doing this for a year now, and it's been an interesting year for transit and transit enthusiasts in the Royal City. A lot has stayed the same. There has been some signs of changes coming, and there's even been a few changes made. But what about the bigger picture? Are we more confident about the exciting transit future of Guelph, or are we more pessimistic? Perhaps we feel the same as we did this time when we did the first Transit Pass last year. We're about to find out. The Transit Pass is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. So let's recap the year in transit. The year began with the 12 recommendations from the Transit Service Review, which were unanimously received by Council. Transit then got to work on enacting those recommendations and seems to be adapting them in good speed with items like route reviews, the community bus expansion, and the new tap-and-go reloadable transit card that is coming in January. At nearly the same time, the city began collecting public feedback for the Transportation Master Plan, which included two experiments in creating complete streets like a transit-only lane on Gordon Street. It also seemed like Guelph was on a brand new page when it came to transit. But nice things maybe aren't built to last. And by the time we got to this year's budget process, some members of council began to crack on their commitment to expand transit. A new route that services the Hanlon Creek Business Park and an additional bus that would expand service on the community bus were called into doubt when a few councillors balked at the price tag. The additional buses were eventually approved, but it was over the objection of about a third of council when it was all said and done. And this was despite a lack of any public concern about more transit spending. Looking at the regional picture, we gained not just one, but two new bus lines that will begin service between Guelph and Owen Sound in the new year. We also got three new GO trains to and from Toronto on a daily basis, but all-day service and weekend service still seem like kind of a pipe dream. Another dream that also died this year, the dream of a successful rideshare between Guelph and Kitchener, ended unceremoniously as route came to an end in the summer. However, Wellington County now is experimenting with a rideshare pilot project, so maybe there's still interest? So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we will be joined by two members of the TAG Executive, Chair and President Steve Petrick, and Treasurer Barbara Sim, who will join us this time to look at the year in review, consider the return of the needs versus wants debate during the budget process this year, and whether TAG thinks that Council is serious about getting serious on transit. We also talk about their hopes about the Transportation Master Plan, the city's experimentation with complete streets, the coming arrival of the reloadable tap-and-ride card, plus the celebration over more parking while transit continues to struggle. So I caught up with Barbara Sim and Steve Petrick a few weeks ago in studio. So Barbara Sim and Steve Petrick, thank you so much for joining me today for our quarterly Transit Pass.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great to be here.
We've been sitting here having a good chat, but let's talk about the affairs of TAG and transit. Let's just start with just generally. Since the last time you guys were in, Barbara, you weren't in last time, but John was. And but you know, we've had the summit, we've had the budget, talked about the Transportation Master Plan, some bits at council. So how have things been going in the TAG circles these days?
Well, we picked up more membership out of the summit, which is good. We're still looking for more directors so that, you know, we can have more people involved. It seems to be going well at council. There's a few things. Like I found out that, you know how everybody talks about the gas tax and it's based on ridership?
Mm-hmm.
It's not earmarked for transit. It goes into the general capital fund.
The money, although it's supposed to go to transit, but it just goes into the general
capital fund.
Okay.
So rather than it being earmarked, so when ridership goes up, their capital fund just goes up and it's not earmarked to help improve the service of transit.
Okay. So, I mean, basically what it sounds like you're saying is that it just goes into the general bank account. It doesn't necessarily go to transit services then.
It doesn't go to transit. It does go to capital expenditures.
Right.
But it doesn't go to transit capital expenditures.
Right. So
So it doesn't go to new buses, and it doesn't go to new bus barn or anything, new hubs or anything like that that they need.
Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to, though?
Well, it's based on how much your ridership is.
Right.
So it's supposed to be kind of tied to what it's supposed to help public transit.
So it's one of those norm situations, like, you know, it's for transit, technically earmarked for transit, depending on how much ridership you have, should be going into transit, but it doesn't as a rule or as a policy.
Not in Guelph.
That's messed up.
It was news to me.
Well,
I got it from a friend of a city councilor. So,
okay. So it's not like, do they want it official knowledge? Or are they trying to, like?
Well, I don't think they're trying to hide it, but they're not advertising it either.
Okay.
I think it's because we were questioning how some of the numbers worked on their last, when they were doing the five buses and different routes. And I was looking at the numbers and saying, this doesn't make sense to me. If it's different options, why are there so much differential in the amount it's going to cost? And why are the revenue numbers so low compared? And I'm a finance person, so it kind of... numbers make sense to me, and they should have, yes, there should be some different amount depending on the route of the option and how many bus stops there's going to be and how much extra fuel there's going to be. And they're supposed to be the same amount of time, but there shouldn't be huge differences in like $100,000 difference.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So I just look at some of the numbers that Guelph Transit puts out and goes, that does not make sense to me.
Mm. And we brought it up during the budget debates, and they really didn't catch on to it, I guess, except for one councilor, obviously, that had a problem with the Hanlon Creek bus and it's being 95% subsidized and 5% revenue. So,
right, and this must have triggered you, the whole, because I know what councilor you're talking about. But he literally said it's about needs versus wants about that route, that we're kind of back to this, that, you know, transit is some transit is a need, most transit is a want. And that's kind of a hard place to sort of build from if we're still talking about things in those regards.
They're really underestimating revenue, I think, because there have been a number of one, when employers bought down in Hanlon Business Creek, they were told there was going to be public transportation.
Yeah.
And now the ads you see for those jobs must have own transportation.
Yeah.
So they've limited the pool. They have hard time with retention of employees. They actually got together to make part of the presentation to the budget. And I really think they underestimated it. It's the old problem. If you don't build it, people don't come. Right?
Yeah.
So if you're doing a new residential development, put your transit in there, because the people who buy those houses will be different than if there's no transit plant.
Well, it sounded like a huge oversight, because like the construction on the Hanlon Creek Business Park started 10 years ago.
Yes.
And now we're talking about, even just, I mean, the bus will go in sometime in 2020, but I mean, we're just started talking about running a bus there.
And one of the other problems is they present their options with no idea of how it connects to the rest of the system.
Yes.
And so we were looking at the various options, and there is one where the bus going down the west side of the Hanlon is within 500 meters of where the new option is going to be. Why can't they connect?
Right. I mean, that goes to something you said, because you talked about your brother at the meeting, how he works in the Hanlon Creek Business Park, had to get a car.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to be... I do wonder how much that'll be solved by the 19, and maybe this gets into some of the council's concerns about that, is that at the end of the day, to get to that bus from, you know, if you live in the North End, that's still a 45 minutes to an hour to get to that bus. Then it takes you another half hour.
It doesn't respect people's time. Something we brought up during the summit was, you know, people have demands, and that's one of those key demands. It's a it's a route that's designed in a very tight square. And they didn't really think about anything outside of that square.
Right.
They just thought, we're going to put service, and let's not connect to the north of Hamlin Creek, where there's, you know, options to get to other places.
And up in that area, there's residential that does not have buses, where you're walking over a kilometer to a bus. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. It just, we're thinking about, I guess it's, we're patching holes when we're not thinking about maybe making a new pair of pants.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not looking at the whole situation. We're just, and when they're presenting options, they're not even showing how they connect to the rest of the existing system.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of pull out your, you've got your options in front of you, and then you pull out your Google Maps.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we did at one of our meetings. So we had to actually literally look and see, where are those connections? Like, what's happening with the 16? What's happening with the 19 and then miss the other connections, 99 and whatnot. So it's
if you're living on the northwest side, mm-hmm. you're going to have to go all the way across the Hanlon, come all the way down the east side, and then cross over again.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No. And I know, because I would have to do that if it was me.
Yeah. It's like, I used to live at 23 Woodlawn, and I worked at Massey Road.
Mm-hmm.
It became much faster for me to take a cab every day, because it would be 45 minutes and almost a kilometer to walk from where I could get off the bus.
Right.
So we're talking 45 minutes to an hour on a five-minute cab ride.
Right.
And I'm lucky I had the income I could support taking the cab.
Right, because, you know, if you're taking a $20 cab ride and you're someone who makes minimum wage.
Because it's only 5 minutes, it was like a $10 cab ride.
Right, but I mean, still, if you're making minimum wage.
You can do that.
Yeah, it's tough. And, I mean, that seems to be, Shan Matway pointed this out, that she went to the dentist and it was like, she had to travel just down Speedvale about a kilometer. But to make that trip on transit, it takes, you have to reroute through downtown.
Yeah.
And they've been talking about that Speedvale route, but they've delayed it, obviously, because they want to rebuild Speedvale East. So, that was transit's prerogative. They said, well, let's not do it until the road's rebuilt. But I think they should have just done it anyway.
Yeah.
Because if the road's going to rebuild, you can easily detour that bus and you'll still have ridership. You know,
get people used to it.
And we're still living in a city where part of Speedvale does not have sidewalks.
Yeah, right.
You're at Silver Creek and Speedvale. You're getting off onto a bus pad, and in the middle of the winter, three sides are surrounded by, so you have to step out onto the road to get past it.
Yeah.
I know somebody who works at the Maple Leaf plant on Speedvale there, and there's no sidewalks on either side, so...
No, I mean, that's a big problem in a lot of the industrial areas, that there's no, I mean, it's a little bit better because some of those bus pads have been paved,
but
that's not, it's small victories, right?
Yeah, when you're going along any of the major streets and all, you see the worn-in, muddy path.
Yeah.
There are people walking there. You should have a sidewalk there for them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part and parcel with how we think about these things. We don't think about the totality of the travel. We look at the immediate problem.
Also, they keep on saying, oh, it costs too much.
Right.
Well, how much did that 496 parking garage cost us?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm curious about that, and I think a lot of people are looking at that. It was $22 million, and it's not being used to its maximum occupancy, like even in busy times when, you know, you're a storm guy, so
most people park in the east and west parkade still, and nobody's over in the new one. And
right,
I was by it even today. I was by it in the middle of the day. It was still half empty. So,
I mean, there has to be. I mean, I don't know what the problem is myself with why people aren't using it.
Because it costs you from the first minute that you park.
Right.
And there's free parking downtown for your first hour.
Yeah.
So if you're only running in to get something for an hour, you're not going to go into the parkade unless you absolutely cannot find a parking space downtown.
Well, I thought that was the reason for the parking. Right? Well,
this is Guelph. Things are a little different.
Right. It's bizarre.
It comes back to not having a vision.
Yeah.
Of what you want your city to look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, they certainly had a vision for the parkade. I mean, it was, it's a nice looking parkade.
It's a beautiful parkade.
Yeah.
And I used to work for the company that ended up building it, and they're wonderful people, and they're Guelph people. But did we really need 496 more parking spots when it's not really being used? And would there have been a better place to spend the money?
Yeah. I do want to get into the politics a bit because it does seem like you guys have cred. Because there was, like, I didn't take a head count, but it did seem like at various points throughout the summit, half of city council was there.
We had six.
Yeah. So there you go, half of city council.
Not there all day, all the
sure.
time, but some of them did.
Some of them did, absolutely. I wasn't taking attendance, like I said, but but you know, it in speaking to like some of the councilors who were maybe trying to throw up some blocks to the expansion of transit, the message isn't all the way there yet. That you still have some outreach work to do, and I wonder if have you reached out to those councilors we're talking about? I don't know why we're not naming them, but
no.
let's not shame. But yeah. Have you reached out to them, and or maybe have they reached out to you to maybe try and understand from the point of view of the transit users?
We've reached out. We have something called Tag Along with Tag,
mm-hmm.
where we will invite a counselor to ride the transit system with us, and we can they can see, because a lot of them don't use the transit.
Sure.
So they can see what some of the issues are. And some of them have been very receptive to doing that, and some of them still won't. But all we can keep on doing is make the offer.
Mm-hmm.
So we will keep on reaching out, and we will keep on making our comments at council when we get a chance. Steve is very good at that.
And after the summit, they did reach out to us and thought it was fantastic, very informative. We saw it on Twitter. They retweeted a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Even your coverage got retweeted by them. So
yeah.
You
know, I think they got a better understanding of that core question that we've been trying to sell is, you know, what is our vision? What is our coverage ridership goal?
Right.
Yeah. And that's something that we're still curious about.
Yeah, coverage versus frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need? And are there other ways of looking at doing it?
Mm-hmm.
What are other cities doing that are being very successful? Like Kingston, free ridership for students, high school students. They increase, it pays for itself in gas tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ridership's up because of express buses with that system too. So, I mean, and they won awards.
Right.
So
it does, I mean, you make the interesting point, and it phrases a different way where you get more gas tax based on ridership. And so the free bus rides almost pay for itself if you get more people on, because that comes in the form of more money to the city.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I wonder how much of this is sort of, I guess depends on the phrasing, because the thing about the council debate that and the talking about need versus want that still seems to bother me is that, you know, even after all these years, we're still talking about transit as a mode for people who can't afford a car, whether that's like older people, whether that's younger people, whether that's people of limited means.
But it also has a lot to do with if we want to make our climate targets, right?
Right.
If you get more people off the road, then one of the biggest causes of carbon is vehicles.
Yeah.
So if you take 48 cars off the road and use one bus, right? It's frequent, and it's maybe 5 or 10 minutes longer than what if they weren't. And there's huge cost savings for the individual, which then can be used for other things in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rather than just getting to and from like work. So I think we were looking at the average cost of a car is $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's under $1,000 for a bus pass.
Yeah.
So that's $12,000 that goes back into the economy.
Yeah. In other ways, and the factor of it too is that people don't understand either is that, you know, we're all subsidizing transit in our way, whether that's you're talking about tax dollars paying for roads and road infrastructure and fixing bridges and all that. And
yeah, as a property tax owner, I'm paying for more and more roads, widening of roads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of places in Guelph you can't widen the roads.
No.
So what are you going to do, right? Let's make it more frequent transit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With some good coverage into it.
Right. But this ties back into the whole thing with the parking downtown. It's like I was at the 99 stop across, just outside the Viennas, right?
Right.
And I was watching somebody sit on a parking space. And a tow truck came up to pull a car out. There was a delivery truck in the middle of the road running deliveries to one of the restaurants there. And this person in this hatchback sat there for 10 minutes sitting on this parking space. And, you know, causing, you know, traffic disruption. Because people are like, why are you sitting here? Like, do I go around you? And, you know, you can't read minds when you're trying to find out what another driver is doing. But it was like 10 or 12 minutes. And I'm like, this is why we'll never have really great transit. Because, you know, cars kind of make you lazy as it is. But then when you can't just pull around the corner to the half-empty parking structure.
Right.
You have to sit on a parking space.
To save right $2.
Right. Save $2.
And probably spend it in gas.
Probably.
While you're running your car.
Yeah. But I mean, people don't think like that. It's so limited that people don't think twice about hopping in their car to run a 5-minute errand, or to like.
It, but it's changing. I'm a senior, and so I'm seeing some of the things that I was when I was in high school that I was considered really radical are now mainstream.
Like what?
Recycling.
Oh.
I used to recycle newspapers.
Oh yeah.
And we paid for our foster child in Korea by selling the newspapers. like I'm talking back in the 1970s.
Sure, sure.
So, and that's really mainstream now.
Yeah.
People are now looking at, oh, I shouldn't be using plastic water bottles. I should be having my own bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And tap water is just as good. Or run it through a Brita.
Right.
Right? So I have nieces and nephews that are trying to go zero garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're looking at, okay, we're going to have one pail for the whole year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, like, and that's not me influencing them. That's them looking at, that's their future.
Right. I do feel like I still go to the grocery store and people buying like 6 things of bottled water at a time.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing struggle, right?
No, some people do, but then there's a lot of people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I walk around my office and we have bottled water, but it's in the big carboy. And so we're all filling up our individual containers from that larger container that then gets recycled and reused.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you look at it in terms of transit, more young people want to, they can't afford a car.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in cities like Guelph now, because rents are much higher than they used to be.
Right.
And it's hard to get anything affordable. So they want to use good transit, but if transit isn't keeping up with what people want,
right.
You know, that seems to be this problem in Guelph specifically. You know, I'm watching other cities get ahead of us and ahead of us and ahead of us. And I'm sitting here like, what are we doing? We're just sitting here twiddling our fingers. Right now, we're just trying to fix the system. So we're putting the cart before the horse. We're doing route reviews without knowing what the whole system should look at like as a complete plan. So I'm worried that what's going to happen is they're going to say, well, look, we've already done this work. You know, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to add a couple more routes. And that doesn't solve anything. It doesn't solve what the core problem is a lot of our systems built on that old hub and spoke. We haven't moved away from that. Every other city is starting to realize is that doesn't make sense for a city of 130, 140,000 people that's going to be 190 in a decade plus. You know, we need to start moving now, not you know, twiddling our thumbs. And now there's a slight delay with the transportation master plan. I'm worried that there's going to be a delay in the transit master plan, but nobody's saying anything yet. But we'll find out, I guess, next year.
Yeah.
Well, it does speak to a certain culture, I think, that at City Hall, where we everybody says the right things. Everybody, you know, and this is what kind of struck me watching that debate around council during the budget was you go to the town halls, you talk to your councilor one-on-one, you hear them type on their websites or what have you. It's all about we got to make transit, we got to make it more viable, got to get more service out there. And then you know, it's like when you go to the restaurant, a restaurant with a group of friends, and the check comes, okay, let's split the check, you know, 13 ways, and everyone's like, no, I, like, split it evenly? I just had the salad. Or, you know, you have somebody else saying, well, I didn't even want to eat here in the first place. It's, yeah, it's bizarre that, you know, 364 days a year, this is the party line, and then when the check comes on the 365th, it's hard to get any actual forward momentum.
Yeah, and they're not looking at what they're spending in capital budget on roads.
Mm.
And they're expanding on roads, but they're not seeming to willing to expand on transit for some councillors. Some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are still not there.
Yeah.
And to go back to that differential of $12,000, for young people, that's saving towards a down payment on a house.
Right. Or, you know, just going to rent or going to,
a half-decent place to rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of things coming up, you mentioned the Transportation Master Plan. That is supposed to come back in the new year. You worried it's going to be delayed?
It is delayed. Okay. There was a report that said it was going to be, the final will come out in 2021, early 2021.
Okay.
So we'll have an idea next summer what they're thinking, and then they're going to come back early next year. We were told the transit master plan would happen just after that. So I'm wondering where in the pecking order, you know, things are happening.
Mm.
If it's still going to happen in the fall next year or what they're up to. But, you know, I'm kind of optimistic with the transportation master plan because I'm hearing a lot of things about complete streets, which, you know, give transit priority and giving bikes a little more room on the road. And it sounds like they're going to have a decent plan instead of what we've seen in the past, which really ignored a lot of that. So,
They did, like, actually make a demonstration of a couple of things, which was, I thought, really bold.
Mm-hmm.
Unusually bold, because usually it's you go to some workshop and it's like a PowerPoint presentation, but like to actually see something in effect, whether that was the bike lane on Woolwich or the bus, dedicated bus lane on Gordon.
That poor bus lane got so much negative feedback from drivers. I mean, it just, on our group, tried our best online on Twitter to at least educate them on, like, you know, there's these things, but boy, oh boy, did they ever, like, just not want to hear anything from us. It was, I'm in my car, my car's priority.
Yeah.
What about business? Well, what about businesses, people that use the car for business? That's, we're not against that. Like, we're not saying you don't need, like, we're not saying every car needs to come off the road. We're saying there will always be a need for cars for some people. We're just saying maybe take that one trip to the Storm game, you know, instead of taking your car. You save a couple of bucks. You can spend it on the Salima Center, so the city will still get its money.
Yeah.
And, you know, help the environment a little bit. Like, there's little things you can do.
Well, what's the goal? It's 15 out of 100 trips people take on transit?
Yeah,
that's 15 out of 100 is the goal?
We're at 7?
7 or 8,
7 or 8, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So it's not that
it's
big.
It's achievable. It is achievable. We just need to...
It's pitifully achievable.
For Guelph, it's... Just we need that vision and that plan, and I don't know where we are. Like,
and Folsom support.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not sort of saying one thing in public and then at the end of the day abstaining or not voting for it.
Mm. Even if you're like feeling ambivalent about it, like to just like things can be changed. Nothing's written in stone, so you may have concerns, but in the interest of building more system into the system. You know,
and that Hanlon Creek is a good example.
Right.
That. Like the bigger picture in our mind and our group's discussion is, why don't we have the bus, a perimeter bus, at least come from the Stone Road Mall terminal and come all the way around through the YMCA and come in the back door and then connect to the 99. Like, it's not, it seems the professionals elsewhere agree with that kind of planning, but Guelph's kind of got a fun way of doing things. So.
Because there's some of that there too. Like, I mean, it's understandable in the case of the university. This is where kind of the priority is and where a lot of the users in the system are. But there are a lot of routes that go from the university into some of those areas you're talking about, around Downey Street, by the YMCA, into the South End, around Courtright, in different places where, you know, people don't normally think to go because the bus service isn't there. It is if you're a university student. But
yeah, it's the branding. That's the sure. problem. It's the yeah. branding of those all those U routes. That's why everybody thinks, oh, it's all university centric. Well, you can get on that U route. You know that.
Yeah.
And
I think, as our group has said, is simplify your system. You know, why do we have all these routes duplicating? You know, if we merge them and you'd have more frequency and people would easier to understand if we had, you know, 12 routes instead of 36 routes.
Sure.
You know, like it'd be a lot simpler for people to use the system. So it's it's that bigger picture, that the vision that we're really pushing for 2020 and beyond.
There's a people, I mean, in terms of the ridership, there's a people factor in all this too, because I find that when transit does do radical things, it's not necessarily the city that has doubts, but the riders, because then they have to learn a new
I know I stopped using transit a while ago because I could never make my connection in the square.
Yeah.
So did I want to add an extra half hour to my day every, you know, in the morning and at night? So that's an extra hour out of my day. You know, you try it for 6 months and you just give up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am pro transit, but it's got to be working for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You guys looking forward to the new cards, the new smart cards, the reloadable cards?
We are.
looking for the bright side.
It's nice that we're finally catching up with pretty well everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
It's too bad it's not open payment or anything like that. Mm. So that may be another decade before we see that. But it's finally something that we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's going to be rolled out in February.
Mm-hmm.
We've all started seeing the boxes out and whatnot. And our concern was that $5 fee for that card, which we brought up at the budget discussion, and one counselor did as well, about having that barrier to access.
Yeah.
I know a lot of systems struggle with that. They still charge their $5, though, unfortunately, because they just can't, I guess, justify it in their budgets. When I was listening to the deputy CEO say, oh, it could be about $50,000, we don't know.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, well, shouldn't you know what this costs? Or
right. But that might be one of those things where you have to kind of know the metrics, like how many new cards you sell in a year.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's
how many bus passes they sell. I saw the numbers. Yeah. It was really low.
Yeah.
In number of bus passes, a lot more tickets.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an interesting transition. I just don't think they marketed it as well as they probably should have. There was somebody on Twitter didn't even know, like, where can I find the facts about this? And I had to give them the link.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe we should be better rolling this out a little promotional, not just one tweet and that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the tricky part, is that there's going to have to be a big communications effort. I mean, but this is sort of, I wonder if there's anything the city, if there's a communications plan that is so good that it actually hits everyone, because this has always been the eternal struggle with anything the city does.
Yeah, marketing is not their strong suit.
No.
Nice yeah. about it. There's been several things with transit where, like, there was this shuttle bus so you could get the go and nobody knew about it, so no one was using it.
Yeah.
The branding of the community buses, like, nobody knew that you could just hop on.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like, it was going, I didn't even know it existed until I joined TAG.
Mm.
And yet I had one going past my house.
Oh, yeah. And you could get it up. You could pick it up from outside your house, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can stop and
yeah,
you can get on and stop anywhere. Yeah,
that's been marketing has been a weak point for GoTransit. I remember back in 2003 on TAC, mentioning that, and the GM at the time was like, "Yeah, we don't have that kind of budget. We're never going to get that kind of budget like TTC has, for example." So it was like, "Well, maybe you should ask for a little bit of money, because marketing is key. You got to sell your system, and we don't sell our system very well."
Mm-hmm.
At all. And, you know, if we were able to do a realignment of routes, we should be selling it, make sure it's constantly out there. Like, yes, here's Route 40. You know, here's an express bus. Take it. I never see anybody use it.
Right.
Because they don't seem to understand it's there. They're so used to the 8, so they just get on the 8.
Right.
But so it's...
Yeah. The 40 also runs at very specific times of day, and I feel like this has been an experiment that has have failed with the city when they were trying, when like when they would run the 20 at peak time, like when the factories let out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And it was it's just sort of hard to get people, I guess, to run the idea that they're at, if it's between 7 and 9 and 4 to 6, you can hop on the 40 as opposed to taking the 8.
Yeah. And there's things like they're not, they don't understand in on the industrial routes what those hours of work are.
Mm-hmm.
And so some, there's a lot of plants, especially in the northern part of Guelph, that say, no, we can't hire you unless you have your own transportation.
Yeah.
Like, we had one of the lowest unemployment rates in Canada, but we still had a lot of jobs that were not being filled because people didn't have cars to get there.
Right. Because people can't pick up the Sunday night shift. And
yeah.
Or, you know, unless they carpool or drive or have their own.
My stepsister has that at Linamar right now. Yeah. Her shift ends at an awkward time or started at an awkward time, and she has to get a ride in because there's just no way to get there in time without, you know, walking half a mile or longer,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So what are you guys looking forward to in the new year in terms of your own advocacy? What's on the agenda?
Oh, well, obviously Guelph Transit has put out in their budget their priorities,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to follow those priorities. I think, obviously, the recommendations from the service review are still going to be implemented, so we're going to still push them to hire those drivers quicker because, obviously, we've seen some cancellations again recently.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to get them to understand that if you get those drivers in, you're going to save money in the long run. You know, this is costing you overtime and sick leave, and, you know, it's not, you're spending more on that stuff than you would if you had the drivers.
And yeah. Attrition of drivers because they're tired of doing all the overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're getting to the end of their rope, you know.
It's a similar problem to the police force. You know, that, you know, you have transit drivers putting in all the overtime, you know, taking a lot of the frontline crap from customers.
Yeah. It's a risky, it's considered a risky profession.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, but
the
Guelph Police got a 10% raise and for the
it's a bit trickier with that.
It's a bit trickier. Yeah.
There's provincial.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Now I wonder if Guelph Transit was back to being a commission again, like TTC or something. Then who knows? But
instead of being a city department.
Yeah.
And we're doing some outreach on regional
mm-hmm.
to get, you know, advocating for better regional transit. You know, it's, you can't get down to Hamilton on public transportation. You've got to go into Square One or you have to go all the way in into Toronto. Everybody thinks that, if they hear two-way go.
Yeah.
Well, it's still not, if you're a commuter going west in the morning, you can't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, advocating for more GO Transit buses, like, direct from Guelph to Kitchener.
Yeah.
You know, and it has to be reliable and at a time where if you start at 8 in the morning, you've got to be there before 8 in the morning because you've got to get from that transit terminal to wherever you work.
Yes, transfer to GRT or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, is there something coming on this front? I thought in terms of regional transit, am I?
Well, they keep on talking about it, and they say they're talking to each other, but it doesn't ever seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, I thought I heard somewhere that maybe there was something concrete coming. Maybe that was a beautiful dream I had.
Possibly.
Yeah.
All we know is that they did talked to each other and had a meeting, and they have an idea what they want to do, but we need to see something on paper, so.
Yeah, and you know, people have talked about, well, why can't Grand River Transit meet Guelph Transit?
Yeah.
They can't because the County of Wellington is in between.
Yeah. Yeah, and the County of Wellington's doing its own thing, too. It's got a pilot program, which is basically a ride share. It's not necessarily transit, but it's...
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, and it's kind of affordable. Like, to go to Ayr or to go to Elmira, it's not a... it might be cost prohibitive if you were to do it every day, but it's, you know, if you wanted to take a day trip to
yeah.
one of those places.
Or you have a doctor's appointment.
Or you have a doctor's appointment, absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then there's the Owen Sound Service straight down.
Two Owen Sound Services.
Which I thought was... and somebody on Twitter was mentioning, like why are we getting so much service there when we really need it between Hamilton and Guelph?
Or Niagara Region.
Or Niagara Region or London, or something.
Yeah.
It's surprising there's more population that way than there are this way.
Yeah,
that way
more and more, I'm meeting more and more people who say, I used to be able to go down to St. Catharines. My family's in St. Catharines. I can't do it anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
because either they're not allowed, they can't drive, or they're of the age where they shouldn't be driving.
Right.
Or, you know, or they can't afford a car.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why people don't drive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, this is all good stuff. Good stuff to keep in mind as we go. And so I appreciate you guys coming by. If people want to get involved with TAG, you know, maybe we can tell them how they can find you guys.
They can find our website at tagguelph.com. So that's TAAGuelph.com. Or they can email us at tagguelph@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, great discussion. I'm glad we do this at least once a quarter. And I really appreciate you guys' time, and thanks for stopping in. Happy New Year and all that.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Thanks for having us.
Barbara Sim and Steve Petrick, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And once again, that was Barbara Sim and Steve Petrick of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, and you can find out more about the group through their website at taaguelph.com. The Transit Pass will return for another one of its quarterly editions sometime in the spring. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to its website at cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast every Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can download it from the host on Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. Find Guelph Politico on Facebook at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you every week, all year long. And until then, see you next time.